With 1,000 things on our to-do lists, a lot of us are doing life on constant autopilot, forgetting to care for ourselves, feeling overwhelmed and frustrated with the way things are. I strive to help you, the everyday woman, to stop and to embrace the power of effective self-care in order to reduce overwhelm and anxiety and find fulfillment in your everyday life. I'm Sarah Miller, and I'm here to help you stop going through the motions and start being the happiest and healthiest version of you, all by caring for yourself like someone worth caring for. Join me for conversations about self-care, wellness, mindfulness, and so much more that will help you find your own self-care lifestyle. I'm Sarah, and you're listening to the Self-Care Lifestyle Podcast. Welcome. I am so glad to be here with a guest today. I have Jessie from the Positively You podcast, and she talks a lot about mindset, a lot about that positive thinking. And Jessie, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. I love being on the other side of the mic and being, you know, not the interviewer, but the guest over here. So thank you for the opportunity to come over here. I'm Jessie. Like Sarah said, I host the Positively You podcast. It's been so much fun. It's what I'm absolutely obsessed with mindset, habits, helping you all live a life that you love and creating what you're obsessed with. So that's a little bit about me.
I love it. I love it. Well, I know that a lot of what you've focused on is that mindset piece, that positive mindset. I was going back through your recent episodes and I saw a lot about gratitude. I saw a lot about just balance in the holiday season. And I guess I would just love to hear about your journey in this mindset area. I mean, I'm sure there was something that led you to start talking about mindset online, right? So how did you get there? Where did you come from? What made you realize that mindset, which was such a key part of success and having a life that you love?
Yeah. You know, I wish there was like this light bulb moment where it was like, and then I learned this lesson. But for me, it was a lot more gradual. It was building block upon building block, just kind of throughout my whole life. And then almost having a realization, looking back, being like, oh, these are the things that make a difference. These are the things that matter. I've always been into personal development. Like even as a little kid, I loved reading books about that. I had a book called like 13 Habits. I don't even remember what it was, but I look back, I got it for Christmas. Yes, something like that. But I was like 12. So it's been something that I've always kind of gravitated to. I've always really loved the science of it and all of everything that goes into that. But I started really noticing as I became an adult and started to have more adult problems, right? Like kid problems, it's easy to just like whatever your way through them.
Yeah.
And kind of realizing like, oh, it's not just like slap on a smile and be happy all the time, but that there's actual practices that you need to kind of have in place that build you up to be able to be resilient. And one of the big things that I noticed was the dialogue that you have with yourself and the words that are going on in your head. And that, holy cow, those make the biggest difference in the whole world. And so that's kind of where it started for me, was just really that dialogue and really the words, like words are so important. And I kind of started with affirmations and getting intentional there and kind of just observing myself and my thoughts a little bit when I did have something challenging come up and being like, oh, wow. Am I feeling really overwhelmed? And is it like, this is hard. I can't do this. I don't know what to do. Panic. And then being able to kind of be like, whoa. Let's stop. Let's see, like, what can we shift here? What can we change? How can we move these words around to empower ourselves a little bit more so that we can come at this situation feeling a little bit more capable to take it on? So I think that answered your question a little bit.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I definitely can understand that self-development obsession from a young age. That was absolutely me. I was always into the like blogs about how to reach your goals and how to like work on X, Y, and Z. Just that self-development focus at, you know, 12, 13 years old. And
I don't know what I was doing at 12, 13 years old that it was so important. But yeah, I love that. If you had to say, let's say like the one thing that was the most powerful thing for you for shifting that, for shifting the way you talk to yourself, what would it be?
I think honestly, it's deciding how you want to feel and not accepting less than that. I was reading, oh crap, I wish I could remember the book that I was reading, or it was just a little excerpt that I saw, but it was talking about hitting rock bottom. Mm-hmm. And how rock bottom is a good place because you decide this is the bottom. Like, I am never coming back here again. Yeah. And I don't know that necessarily that we need to hit rock bottom, that we need to be in that place of feeling like absolute garbage. I mean, hopefully not, but just kind of deciding like, this is the life that I want. This is how I want to feel. Like, I want to feel this. And if you even have to start with, I don't want to feel this, if you're not mm-hmm. exactly sure what you want to feel, but you at least know, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Then that makes it easier to make those decisions and to get yourself in that mindset of, is this helping me achieve that? Or is this going somewhere opposite? And so I think it's getting kind of clear on where you're going, what you want to feel, and then you can base everything kind of off of that.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I've been reading some books around that recently and just getting really clear on your purpose and getting really clear on what you truly want. And that's something I've been working through even just in my personal life. So I love that. You recently did a powerlifting competition. Yes?
Yes, I did.
I would love to hear about that, how it relates to living a life that you love, how your mindset affected that. I know that I once upon a time lifted pre-baby and have struggled to get back into it, and I definitely miss it. I think it's a really awesome way to move your body and to feel really empowered. So I would love to hear about your experience with that and how it connects to your mindset, how it connects to designing the life that you love.
Absolutely. Okay. So I have three kids. I'll start there. Three kids. My youngest is 5. And we all know that cycle of when you have your kid and then it's like, all right, I need to get my body back, but whatever, like all of that language that we have. And then, you know, you get pregnant again. You're like, okay. So after my third baby, I knew I was done. And I was like, all right, now I want to get back into shape, like for me, not just to get pregnant again, not just to kind of like keep going in this little cycle. Mm-hmm. And I won't lie, there was some toxic messaging, right? Like, okay, what cleanse can I do? What crazy challenge can I do? How fast can I drop 15 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever, name the thing. And I finally got to the point about, let's see, how long has it been? 3.5 years ago, where I was like, this is not working. Like, hating yourself into changing is not working. Like, you can't hate your body into loving it. Like,
right.
You know, that's not going to work. The path to loving is not through hating. And I was just kind of at a point where I was really frustrated. I didn't feel like I was making progress. I didn't like the things that I was doing. I found myself on tons of different plastic surgeon sites, right? Just being like, I want a tummy tuck. How do I get this? How do I get this? And I was like, you know what? That's not what I really want. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had to sit there and figure out, what did I want? What did I want to feel? Was it that I needed, quote unquote, like the perfect body? Absolutely not. That's not what I wanted. I wanted to feel healthy. I wanted to feel strong. I wanted to feel like at any moment, if I got called up to do an activity, I could go do it. No problem. Mm-hmm. I wanted to feel like if someone called me to go to the beach, I'd say, heck yes, let's go, and not think second about it, about what I was going to look like or whatever. Like, I just wanted to feel good. Mm-hmm. And so once I understood how I wanted to feel, then I was able to kind of shift those goals a little bit for myself. Sorry, I got to take a drink.
No worries.
And once I was there, it became so much easier. And then I found a coach that I signed up with that I really felt aligned with. Mm-hmm. And I started working with her. And my shift there became, I stopped focusing on the weight on the scale. And I started focusing on the weight that I was putting on the bar. Mm-hmm. And that shifted so much for me. Because I was able to watch the weight go up in a good way, like on a bar, and see what I was able to do where, you know, 1 week it was impossible. And then I would add in a couple of little different things here and try this and then try that weight again a couple weeks later and able to do it and then do more and more and more. And for me personally, that was a really awesome way to honor my body and to get into it and to have this tangible progress that I could see. But that worked for me. I think that fitness and moving your body and finding a way to honor it and move and grow is absolutely amazing. But you have to find what lights you up. Like, I have a friend who has been going to Pilates and she absolutely loves it and adores it. And I tried it once and I wanted to like counting down the minutes till it was done, you know, but like for her, that's what it was. And for someone else, like looking at what I do powerlifting, they might be like, yeah, no way. That sounds awful. I don't want to do that. But, you know, running a marathon might be for them, which like, absolutely not. Like, no, thank you. So I think that, but that's where you can get clear about like, what do I want to feel? And someone might say, I want to feel that feeling when you cross that finish line of just that runner's high and that euphoric. And so then that person knows, yeah, running is for me and I want to feel that way. And then what steps can I put into place to be able to feel that way even every day, like little ways that add up to that. Mm-hmm. So again, it goes back to getting really, really clear. And I love focusing on what you want to feel because it goes deeper than just like, oh, I want a bikini body or like whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I've been working through this course. And there's a module on goal setting. And I actually just talked about this in the episode I published today, but I'm going to go into it again because it's front of mind. And the goal this person had was the enjoyment of wellness. And that just clicked. It was like this moment of, you know, on my podcast, on everything that I'm talking about, I talk about how important it is to find what lights you up, what works for you. Like effective self-care is about picking self-care that's for you. But the same thing applies to fitness, and fitness rolls into that self-care thing as well. So it was just like a duh moment of like, oh my God, of course you need to do what works for you and what lights you up and what you enjoy.
Yeah.
Just realization.
Because I think we've been given messaging, you know, where it's like, work hard, train hard, go big, go home, earn your shower, all of this stuff. So like in the back of our head, we're like, but no, it's supposed to be hard. Like, but no, I'm supposed to like grind through it. Like I'm supposed to be like dead on the floor, you know, after a workout and like really earn it. And so I think sometimes shifting into that mindset of like enjoying it can be really tricky sometimes. And I mean, I know it was for me, like I really was into all of these like boot camp things and I love them. And I think there's a great place for them. And if they light you up, that's awesome. But I really had to shift into what my body can do and just different goals and having something like measurable instead of just like, did I sweat enough? And was I almost puking? You know?
Yeah, 100%. And like for me, I have previously enjoyed lifting, but I've also found that it's not always for me. Some days I don't need that. Some days I need to walk around the block and that's going to be good enough. Some days I need to do a quick little yoga video. I mean, I struggle through it. I'm not the most flexible human, but it can be good, right? I love that so much.
Well, and I like what you said there too, allowing yourself to be able to change and allowing yourself to be able to be flexible. I think so many times, and I've even struggled with this where I'm like, okay, people are starting to like know that I'm a power lifter now. So like, I can't change. I'm like, yes, I can. If I want to go to a yoga class, I can go to a yoga class. If I want to go to a high fitness class, I can go to a high fitness class. And just like allowing yourself, there's so many like imaginary rules I think that we like put on ourselves that are just so silly, like just get rid of them. And so, yeah, like you can change, you can shift, you can have your interests and your passions morph. And that goes along too with like the seasons that you're in. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to get really, really intentional with lifting and competing and, you know, really going all in on that because of the ages of my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't in the nursing phase anymore. I wasn't like going through nap times. I didn't have super, my youngest is 5 at this point. So I think it's also really important when you are coming up with your vision, what's important, how you want to feel, that you also are very real about the season that you're in, mm-hmm. and just honoring that as well.
Yeah, that's so true. I think that comes back to that toxic messaging around, oh, you got to get your body back and all this around after you have a baby. I mean, I feel like so I have an 18-month-old now, and within weeks of giving birth, I was already getting ads and just crap from like, get your body back, like postpartum boot camp stuff all over social media. Cause you know, Instagram, Facebook, they all know that you've birthed a child, yes. because of all that. But, and it's just so disrespectful of that season, of that postpartum season, of that, I've heard it called the fourth trimester, those like first three yes. months, especially, where you're just like, I'm in survival mode, leave me alone. I'm not doing anything else but taking care of my baby. And I mean, even now I'm just getting to that point with an 18-month-old that I feel like I have mental space for more, that I'm ready to yeah. get back to focusing on me and not just being like, we've found that good cadence. And with COVID and everything, that's been a struggle too. So he only went to daycare starting this fall. So he was yeah. home while I was working full time, and my husband was working full time and then doing like this, the podcast and all of that. And it was just like, what in the world is happening? We're drowning. So that was a season that it wasn't working for me to really focus on my fitness because it just wasn't happening. It wasn't realistic. So I was able to do things like walk around the block to at least move my body a little, throw in a yoga yeah. video if I really had an extra 20 minutes or whatever. So I really love that. The importance of the season is really good.
Yeah. You know, and it's so funny. I love you're at such a fun stage with an 18-month-old. And it's like, as you're saying it, I'm like going back and remembering like workouts on my floor where I would have my little one sit on my feet and help uh-huh. me do my sit-ups. And I'd give him like a high five or tickle him, you know, and doing these things where those were intense. But again, it goes back to that feeling like I just wanted to feel active. I wanted to be present with my kids because they were young. They were home. That was the thing. And, you know, I wish I could say I did it perfectly, but I didn't. I still had guilt, you know, that I wasn't doing things good enough. But looking back and like, oh, if my focus and my mindset had been a little bit different, I could have been killing it. Like instead of saying like, I need to get my body back, I need to be back to my pre-pregnancy weight, I need to be back in these jeans, X, Y, Z, all of this stuff. Yeah, I missed the mark then, right? And I can beat myself up. But if I had shifted my mindset a little bit to say, this is the fourth trimester, or this is the stage I'm in. I want to be really present with my kids. I want to just focus on my family and the feeling here and show them that being active, you know, like all of these things, then every little effort I make, I'm like, I'm killing it. I could be doing the exact same thing in both scenarios, right? But whatever my mindset is going to like shift that goalpost. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why like reevaluating like your thoughts around it is so important. And that's really funny that I say that because now I'm having like a flashback to my therapy session last week where I was like, oh, wait, I had this said to me. But we were talking about that because I was saying, you know, I just felt like I'd had a really lazy December and that I was procrastinating a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And she actually pointed out to me, she's like, well, no, you've done a lot with your family and you've done a lot of self-care. Like, and she named off all of these things. And so she's like, so if you shift and say, these are my priorities, she's like, then you're killing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, light bulb. And uh-huh. so I think it's really important to just get into that mindset of what is actually important, where you're going. And even if you have to do that retroactively, like I had to do just barely, to be like, oh yeah, no, actually I'm doing great. You know, yeah. giving yourself that props.
I heard this somewhere recently and it's something I've heard of before, but it was explained in a way that just clicked this time. And they were talking about how when you feel like you've got nothing done that day, to go back and write down everything you did get done, same kind of concept, but even so, just understanding, okay, yeah, maybe I didn't get the 5 goals on my list that I wanted to get done or the 5 tasks on my list, but I did these 10 other things and I took care of myself and I showed up for my family and I had a really important conversation with a friend who was going through a hard time, or I did this. Shifting that focus of like, okay, what actually mattered? Maybe the intent I set for the day shifted because life changes all the time. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's so important. And I love that you were talking about that in therapy. I feel like that the kind of stuff that we're working through, it always just comes up naturally as we're conversing. Yep. It does. It flows right into the content funnel.
Right. Well, and I had a thought as you were saying, you know, reviewing your day about, okay, I didn't get these 5 things done, but I got these 10 things. And sometimes you might have a day where it's like, okay, I didn't get anything done. Like, what did I do? Like, wow, did I watch reels for 5 hours? Or, you know, and I think that at that point, it's really important. I have a saying that I always say is curious and kind. And I use it on myself and I use it with other people. And it's observing things where it's like, okay, I had a day where like literally nothing got done. So instead of beating yourself up and being like, oh my gosh, you're so lazy, you're so blah, 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 you know, negative dialogue going on inside your head, then you'd be like, okay, well, why? Like, why am I procrastinating so much? And compassion here is the key. Like, you can't be like, why, loser, did you do, you know, and and you can kind of understand, like, I know for me, when I start procrastinating, it's because I'm feeling overwhelmed or I've got like decision fatigue. And so I just stop making decisions altogether. Like even little things like what's for dinner, like nothing, you know, cereal. And then knowing like, okay, so this day was actually needed. Like I needed a day of nothing because my brain was just going berserk. And so, you know, you can kind of like ask yourself these questions and be like a kind friend to yourself. Mm-hmm. And then that way, like even these like nothing days or these days that seem wasted can be information for you to kind of get to know yourself a little bit and know like trends that you see, or like when I do this, it means this. And then you can start leaning into like the self-care practices that feel really good for you because you have like these like signals now that you can kind of know like, oh, I'm starting to do this. Like for me, procrastination is a big one. And when I can see myself like avoiding things or putting things off, I'm like, okay, I need to reset, you know?
Yeah. It really identifies clear needs in your life as well. If you're just realizing, okay, when I'm not doing this, when I'm not getting alone time, let's say, I get really cranky and really frustrated and short-tempered because having alone time is a part of my self-care. That's great. Cool. Well, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
If you had to pick one thing you do as self-care, and it may not be something that people would think of traditionally as self-care, what would it be? What would be your, like one of your favorite self-care practices?
One of my favorite self-care practices. Okay. Well, this is going to not seem like self-care and I will explain it, but making my bed every day.
Love it.
And I'll tell you what. So if you go way back, I'm obsessed with making my bed every day. I want everyone to make their bed every day. It was actually a New Year's resolution for myself a couple of years ago where I was like, yep, go big, make your bed every day. That's our goal for the year. But it has so many underlying things. It sets the tone for the day. It immediately accomplishes a task, which sets my brain up. But the number one thing that it did for me was it gave me proof that I can commit to something, that I can set a goal, that I can follow. Like it's the simplest thing, like making your bed, right? But like the internal like proof that it gives you of like, no, I can do this. And for me, that was so key in keeping that goal. Like I even made like hotel room beds because it was part of like the year where I was like, nope, I make the bed every day. So like I'm making this bed. And I got to the end of the year and I was like, I did that every single day. It didn't matter if someone was sick. It didn't matter how the rest of my day went, how the night went. Like I was able to make it. And there were days where it was made at 4 p.m. I'll be honest, but I did it every single day. And then since then, every goal that I wanted to do or go for, my brain knows, like, yeah, you accomplish goals, you accomplish things that you set out to do. Mm-hmm. So while that doesn't seem like a huge self-care thing, I think it was really like a simple thing like that, that you can do to just like prove to yourself, like, yeah, you're awesome. Like, you accomplish things. You are like a go-getter. Again, making my bed, like really small, but it's that like proof that your brain gets that it has just something to draw off of for the future. So I don't know, maybe random, maybe the most random answer you've gotten to that question.
No, I love it. I love it. I think that's a great way to practice self-care. I think self-care is ultimately about supporting yourself and doing what makes you feel good and what can help you reach your goals because you feel like the best version of yourself. So I think that's a perfect answer. So before we go, tell me or tell us where we can find you.
Okay. So I podcast weekly over at the Positively You podcast. We're everywhere. You guys can find me. Where I hang out most is over on Instagram. I am there at positively.jessie. And that's where I'm most active. I love getting into the DMs with people and having conversations and getting to know you. That is my absolute favorite. So come over and say hi. And then just jessielarson.com is where you can find everything else that I do.
Awesome. I'll make sure to get all those links in the show notes so y'all can go check out Jessie. Thank you so much for being with us today. It was so much fun talking with you and getting to know you a little bit better.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Before you go, be sure to grab my free Own Your Self-Care Starter Kit by visiting theselfcare.life/ownyourselfcare. This kit is specially designed to help you identify what kind of self-care will work best for you. That way you can start developing your own self-care lifestyle. If you'd like to stay connected, find me on Instagram at Sarah Strives or on TikTok at The Self-Care Lifestyle. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk at you again soon.